The epistle appointed for this, the feast of the Ascension of our Lord, is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In the former book, O Theophilus, I spoke of all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day on which he was taken up. After he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to them also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, during 40 days, appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while eating with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard, said he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore who had come together began to ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the very ends of the earth. And when he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven shall come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Mark. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were at table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, and that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the preaching by the signs that followed. This is the end of the epistle and gospel. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the epistle this morning, St. Luke is talking about or explaining to a person named Theophilus, whom we really don't know who is, maybe a convert, of all the things that Jesus did, all the teaching, all the miracles, all the parables, and knowing all these things that our Lord did, preaching to the people, trying to bring into their hearts the kingdom of God, a kingdom that is spiritual, not physical. And yet still, they had to wonder of their political position in the world and their status. And after everything that our Lord went through, the passion, the sufferings, and all this, they still had to ask him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Still, some of his followers still believed that this would come about, some physical kingdom and a Messiah to rule it. They didn't get it. And so he kind of lightly upbraids them a little bit and reminds them that this is not important as such, but you go to all nations and preach and teach what I have told you and taught you, trying to lift their hearts and mind off of the physical and into the spiritual. It's not here that we want our gifts. It's in heaven. Our reward is in heaven, not here. And we're reminded that these things are temporal and they can be taken away really fast. Some of our choice gifts, our precious gifts, our children. You know, just a couple days ago, look how many children died quickly. And some are saying, well, where is God when this happens? What a remark. For the physical person, they probably wouldn't even see him. For the spiritual person, sadness, yes. But maybe it was the idea of our Lord of sparing these young souls from future events. Sparing them. We don't know. All we can do is pray for them. And as the apostles were admiring and watching our Lord ascend to heaven, the two men in white garments said to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven?" Now he's trying to focus their attention now to, it's time to go out and preach and teach. Now we go to the gospel, and here, shortly after our Lord's resurrection, says here that the disciples were at table and he upbraided them for their lack of faith. And those who said that they saw him, that he has risen, and they would not believe him. Here too, we have to exercise faith. They saw, and after accordingly they believed. But didn't our Lord say something that blessed are those who have not seen but yet believed? The faith, the miracles and things that happened in the early church were done to promote the faith, to prove that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the true King of Heaven, and to promote this, these miracles were in abundance. The sick were cured, the dead were raised, and they ate or drank anything that they tried to poison with. They took no effect. But today, we don't need these things, because we have history to back it up. So they're not so apparent today as they were back then. But still, our Lord demands that we exercise faith. Because without it, he's not going to do anything for us. Let us remember the parable of the 10 lepers. They all cried out for our Lord to have mercy on them. And our Lord spoke, and they turned away, and all of them were cured, were they not? But one took it a step further. He went back and fell on his knees and thanked our Lord. The tragedy of this is that the nine were believed to be of the Jewish religion. The tenth one was a foreigner, and he even says so. Where are the other nine? All that comes back is this foreigner to give thanks. But he blesses him and sends him on his way, saying his faith has saved him. There are so many parables like that our Lord spoke about, and we have to take them to heart. The prodigal son, the woman at the well. Each one of us has our own troubles and difficulties in life. And this is how we grow in virtue. If there's no opposition, there's no growth in virtue. But this is how it works. Sometimes, yes, things get hard, really hard. Sometimes we might think it's unbearable. But then again, when we look at the crucifix and see what our Lord went through, we find out that our sufferings are next to nothing. The whole thing comes from within, from the heart. It's not the outside appearances, it's on the inside. Everything has to come from within me. It's what's inside me that's going to make my faith grow or make my self-will grow. What is it that I want in life? Fun, pleasure. What is my purpose here? My purpose here is only one purpose: to know, to love, to serve God, and to be happy with Him for all eternity. The rest of it doesn't matter. If we don't offer up our daily duties and the things we have to do for the love of God, then our works and everything that goes with it is worthless. It has to be for Him. It cannot be for me. Nothing must be for me. Therefore, we depend totally on the good Lord, and we petition Him every day to help us by His grace to stay in the state of grace, that the evils of this world does not encompass us, or we stretch out our hand and reach for what is bad because everyone else is doing it, so it's okay. No, it's not. Man has lost sight of God, the sacredness of God. They treat God like it's a common thing. There's nothing common about it. He expects us to do what we are supposed to do every day. He's not going to come down here and grab us by the hand and say, okay, here's what I want you to do today, this, that, and the other. We already know what to do. We already know what to do. The trick is keeping self-will out of the way. Like I said before, it's not for me. It's for Him. It's all for Him. And the times we fail, then that's where the sacraments come into play. That way, if we do fail, we always know we have His forgiveness and His mercy. He'll always have our back if we're sincere in what we're doing. It's only the proud and the arrogant our Lord has nothing to do with. And they keep falling from one thing to the next because our Lord's trying to wake them up, shake them off that high stool, and remind them, I only work with humble souls. And how do I become humble? I become humble by thinking of myself as nothing, of no importance, and have to believe that in my heart. Therefore, if I believe in what's in my heart, it will express itself. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Just a servant of God, trying to do His will to the best of my ability. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. So every day we got to continue. Yes, our work sometimes can be tedious, but remember why and who we're doing it for. We're doing it because we love God. He's given this work for us to do to increase in grace. Keep up your prayers. Most important, keep up your prayers. Because every time we slack off on our prayers for any length of time, the devil wastes no time to make his move. And he makes our lives even more miserable than what they already are. Persevere in your prayers, in your spiritual reading, in your good works. Every day. Don't get discouraged over the times that we live in. Yes, they're bad. But these are times that we grow in virtue and grace by expressing ourselves, showing the good Lord that we do believe. And in the convictions of our hearts, we will show others by the best gift that we can give, our good example. Remember, St. Benedict, back in his day, converted all of Europe by good example. That's how he did it. And we have to do the same thing in these days and times. Because you never know who's watching. You never know who's looking. It takes one person to say, hey, what you did or what you said, that's correct. We don't know. Well, we must do it. God bless you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.